and buying time, killing people that's in line. Lower class of social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only fun. They bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn the kids. No one makes gun, trees, lime, to your face, fight. Buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. See their shit, force a bear. Fuck them back, that's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn the kids. No more things, cut trees, lie to your face, fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, my favorite little online network. And it is the 9th of November, and we got a snow squall warning here. It's quite windy. It must be global warming. Anyways, it's 2 days until Remembrance Day, and our Prime Minister, Tinkerbell Trudeau, is going to be in the Philippines, I think. He went to Vietnam, and he's sliding on over to the Philippines, where his buddy George Soros destroyed the economy some years back, and Canada, the corporation, along with the Prime Minister, has partnered with George Soros and George Soros' Open Societies and the United Nations Refugee Agency in order to flood our lands with what we don't want, a pile of Muslims. So he's not going to be at the not going to be in Canada to show his support for the troops or the veterans, more particularly those who fought in the constructed wars to bring us closer to global government. He's not going to be here to show his respect, because apparently, I forget what it's called, but apparently poppies have, Islam and Muslims have a problem with poppies. And our Prime Minister has most definitely converted to Muslim, or to Islam. And so I suppose maybe that's one of the reasons he doesn't want to be in the country on the 11th, because he will be in conflict with his Islamic friends. Which is really quite pathetic. But anyways, I got an article here in the Toronto Star, which just blows me away. I don't even know where to go with this thing. But this is the story. A new study. Not an extension of an old study, but a new study on sheep may help research on brain disorders. Now, if you understand what this is, we'll go through it. Research indicates these farm animals, i.e. sheep, have face recognition abilities that can be compared to humans and monkeys. Yeah, apparently. And so they're doing a study using the sheep. And the story goes like this. London, which would be, I guess, London, England, this is Associated Press, a new study shows that sheep have the ability to recognize human faces from photographs on computer screens. The Cambridge University study, published Wednesday, also shows that sheep can recognize the faces of their human handlers without any prior training. It has been known that sheep can recognize familiar faces of other sheep and of humans. The researchers say this study of the ability of sheep to recognize faces may be useful in research into Huntington's disease and other human brain disorders that affect mental processing. Lead scientist Jenny Morton says sheep have advanced face recognition abilities comparable to those of humans and monkeys. Among the faces they were trained to recognize were Barack Obama and Harry Potter actress Emma Watson. The research was published in the Royal Society Open Science. Well, if you know anything about the Royal Society, they're a bunch of basically Marxists. But, you know, under the image here, in this image taken from a video, a sheep indicates recognition of former U.S. President Barack Obama, right, displayed on a computer screen during research carried out by scientists at Cambridge University. Now, they mention Emma Watson down here, and what was that, Harry Potter? I never watched any of this Harry Potter stuff. But here we have, what kills me about this picture is when you read it, it said Barack Obama, who's on the wall here, and Emma Watson. But I didn't know who Emma Watson was because I don't watch movies and that. And here I have a black woman with very tight curly hair, and I thought, oh, all right. So I went and I Googled Emma Watson. And Emma Watson's a white girl. And so I don't know who this black girl is. We do know who Obama is. He's a Marxist and moving the Muslim game. But this picture reminds me, I mean, that other picture's been floating around for years and years and years and years and years. You know, there's a picture of a sheep looking at a TV screen or something. And this is basically the same. I'll put it in the chat. This is way too amusing. But what's it really about? Of all the faces to use, why use ex-president Barack Obama? This is in England at Cambridge University. Why don't you use a picture of the Queen or Prince Charles or Prince William or something British, so to speak? Why use Barack Obama? Well, he's the epitome of the world order left, and I suppose, and you don't want to tie that in with the royal family, even though that's up to their eyeballs in this nonsense. But if you remember the picture of the sheep watching TV or whatever they were doing, and people used back then, everybody called them sheeple. And so now we have the sheep staring at doing face recognition. Now, I don't know if they're going to employ the sheep at the airports or not, you know, being so good at face recognition. The story is deeper than this, I think. I thought it was like comical when I first saw it, because they're using sheep for face recognition, and this is a sheep staring at just staring, right? Which sheep do. And this is about moving the Marxist communist program. It's all about the programming. You don't put a conservative right guy up there, or gal. No, you got to have hard left, and you got to have Barack Obama, because America is really the last land that has to fall before they can have their world government. So we know who Barack Obama is, but I looked up. Let me see if I can get back to here. Like, why would you use Barack Obama and Watson? Seems like an odd combination. But Barack Obama is the epitome of the left in the West, or at least in North America. And I mean, even up here in Canada, you can't pick up any media anywhere without somebody flinging mud at Trump. Obama, I think, that gets as much play. He's not the president. He gets as much airplay as the president, because it's the left. So I didn't know who Emma Watson was. This is little British girl. And so she went to Oxford, and Oxford is really Marxism or communism. She went to the same school, I think, as the premier, the ex-premier of Ontario, Bob Rae. Or maybe not the very, where is that? But anyways, so I'm thinking, who the hell is Emma Watson? Why are the sheep recognizing Emma Watson? Who is this broad? Well, she's an activist. Visiting girls in Bangladesh and Zambia. And then I was reading this and I said, oh, I see. Okay, I see why Emma Watson's being looked at by the sheep, which is the collective. She was appointed as UN Women Goodwill Ambassador. And New York City launched the UN Women Campaign, He for She. Now, I don't know what the hell that is, He for She, which calls for men to advocate for gender equality. In that speech, she said she began questioning gender-based assumptions at the age of 8, when she was called bossy, a trait she has attributed to her being a perfectionist, whilst boys were not. And at 14, when she was sexualized by certain elements of the media. Watson's speech also called feminism, which our MP, or not our MP, our PM, Tinkerbell Trudeau, asserts himself to be a feminist. And he just loves gay pride parades. The belief that men and women should have equal rights, opportunities, and declared that the perception of man-hating is something that has to stop. Watson later said she received threats within 12 hours of making the speech, which left her raging. If they were trying to put me off doing this work, it did the opposite. Mala Yostafalna, whatever, told Watson she decided to call herself a feminist after hearing Watson's speech. So also in September, Watson made her first country visit as a UN Women Goodwill Ambassador to Uruguay, where she gave a speech highlighting the need for women's political participation. In December, the Ms. Foundation for Women named Watson its Feminist Celebrity of 2014 following an online poll. And this goes on. She also gave a speech about gender equality in January 25th at the World Economic Forum's annual winter meeting. This is some girl that did some movies and stuff. But she's speaking at the World Economic Forum. Watson took the top spot on the Ask Men Top 99 Outstanding Women 2015 list on the strength of having thrown her back into women's rights issues. The day she turned 25, Watson placed number 26 on the Time 100 list of the world's most influential people. Her first ever appearance on the list. For its recap, former New York Times editor Jill Evanson noted Watson's gutsy, smart take on feminism and called the effort to get men involved refreshing. January 2016, Watson started a feminist Goodreads book club, Our Shared Self. The goal of the club is to share feminist ideas and encourage discussion on the topic. One book is selected per month and is discussed in the last week of that month, yada, yada, yada. And in 2017, for a photograph published by Vanity Fair, or Watson was criticized in March 2017 for a photograph published by Vanity Fair in which her breasts are partly visible. Oh my God. Some in the news media accused Watson of hypocrisy. She was confused by the backlash, arguing that feminism is not a stick with which to beat other women, but instead about freedom, liberation, and equality. So the idea of this is, I suppose, of the picture, is to, because the left here, everybody goes to the school is being taught left nonsense. And I don't like left-right, because the right is doing the same thing. It's just with a little bit different verbiage. The whole movement is to move you to Sheepville. And so they didn't put a picture of Donald, now President Donald Trump. They put up a picture of ex-President Barack Obama. So all the mesmerized, propagandized people. I wish Barack was still the president. Ooh, that scares me. So they look up Emma Watson, and here Emma Watson's a spokesman for the UN and women's rights and feminism and yada 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 yada, and encouraging girls to run for public office and so on and so forth. Same old, same old. Yeah, it freaks me out, because there's a sheeple, just gazing away at the all-inclusiveness, diversity, multiculturalism, although we have a picture of two black people. I guess the sheep is white, so I guess that's the white people have mesmerized to the point where they're just sheep. About all that's left for them to do is recognize faces. Ooh. And white people have been dumbed down beyond recognition, and they better get their act together pretty quick. So, I don't know. I just found that to be an interest. When that popped up, I go, "What the hell is this?" You know, because as soon as I saw it, it just reminded me of them sheeple pictures. Staring at the TV, doing face recognition on the screen is what the sheep were doing. They have no capacity for thought. no capacity to question, no capacity for any critical thinking whatsoever. And this is just what this picture reminded me of. And it wasn't happy, or I wasn't happy about it. So, you know, they will come. Oh, and then there's another little note down here. Read more about Barack Obama. Well, let's go. Barack dismissed from jury duty. Didn't know he was up for jury duty. Obama's ex-speechwriter says Trump's communication strategy never feels real. Mm-hmm. Anyways, lots of stupid stories. Former President Barack Obama to report for jury selection in Illinois, but then he got released from that. And then you have the Trump news. Trump did disrespect my son. Ooh. So you have it's just there's all kinds of positive for the I hate using the word left, for the Marxists, I guess, and anybody that's against the global government, global Marxism, global communism, global whatever, are bad people. In other words, you be a sheep, just sit there and recognize faces, and if you get outside of that, then you're a problem, because you probably can still think a little bit. But to use this for brain disorders, it is a brain disorder, you know, that people are being paid to train sheep to recognize ex-President Barack Obama on some idiocy that sheep can recognize faces. What the hell has that got to do with a brain disorder? I'm thinking, nothing. Just total propaganda. And the fact that it came out of Cambridge University. But, you know, when you look at Oxford, well, this is the other thing. This is the other thing that got me about Emma. While working on the film Noah, Watson was questioned about her faith, and she described herself as a spiritual universalist. Well, that takes you right to the universal human rights, which is... I was reading about this today, and it looks like they're kind of happy, because see, there's three sets of human rights. There's the indigenous rights, and then there's the Islamic rights, and then there's the universal human rights. But apparently, the indigenous people don't fit into that somehow, and neither does Islam, or you wouldn't have three of them. Now, I was reading a piece that actually said that because the universal human rights is secular, or that's what they want the state as, or they want the global government as the God, and they've been working on this for a long, long time, and they're having a problem, you know, getting these religions together and that. But they describe the universal human rights as a faith, as a type of religion. And I was reading a piece that, this is their document, so I was reading a piece that they don't like Protestants. They're nasty. That's us. That was our forefathers. Because Protestants and Christians are two different animals. And the Protestants were the ones who out at Rome, Christian Rome, for their decadence and their syntaxes and stuff. So that the UN boys apparently don't like Protestants that much. They don't like anybody on the right. They have a real problem with people on the right. And but when I was reading through this, they thought that Islam came about as close as they could to universalism, and they played up Iran because Iran is an Islamic country, and that it's not separated. So it is both secular and faith-based. They have, and they thought that that was about as close as you could come to universalism as far as a faith-based, where you have rights and religion tied up into one. So, you know, I said this a long time ago, that the plan is to ditch Protestantism or Christianity, whatever you want to call it. That's got to go bye-bye, so is the American Constitution. So what I read today in their documents was that the closest thing to a faith-based universal religion that would encompass everything that these secular universalism people would like would be Islam, because it combines the two. And that's what the Islamic people have been told, because, like I said many times, I went to that meeting, and when I talked to the Muslim youth there, and I just said, you know, you are convinced, or you've been convinced, that Islam will be the world religion, and Sharia will be the law. And they even mentioned Sharia in that piece I read from the UN, and because that is law and religion, so it's something that they thought they could work from, but not Christianity, not Protestantism, not right-minded stuff. So she's a universalist, a Unitarian Universalism emphasizes that religion is a universal human quality and focuses on the universal principles of most religions. It accepts all religions in an exclusive manner. Okay? So this goes back to Vatican II, which was the beginning of the takedown of the so-called Christian faith, and they've been working on it. And they've been doing a good job at taking it down. You know, that came through the civil rights movement, which was a setup. It came through the, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, which was constructed, just like the wars are constructed. These people have their war boards or their playing boards, and they just move the pieces around, and through propaganda and media and everything else, we sheep, who apparently can't recognize faces, don't recognize what the game has been all about. And that's unfortunate. And that's how they're moving us, because we can see the faces. We see the stars, you know, we idolize the stars. You know, like, why in the hell would I give a damn what an actress or an actor has to say? Let me think. But people do it all the time. They recognize the face. And the face speaks. And then sheep go, wow, my hero. Did you see the last movie? I mean, come on, people. None of this stuff is important. So if you I'm going to stick this in, really. Because there's some very interesting stuff. Like, if you're a reader, And you go through some of this stuff. As soon as I saw Oxford, I knew we had a problem with this broad. And but I mean, is Wikipedia bang on? Not likely. But what I do like about Wikipedia is you can it's just full of highlighted words, okay, and it's just. It's a good start point. You can hit these links, but then you don't have to just stick with Wikipedia. I mean, take those and see where it leads you. And then if something catches your interest, then Google that outside of Wikipedia and see where the hell it takes you. A lot more interesting than standing and recognizing faces on a screen. You don't want to be a white sheep, that's for sure. So there's lots and lots of links in here from Oxford. There's a lot of interesting stuff about the history of Oxford. And I always thought Oxford was just a school, but it's a whole mess of schools. And there's some really, really interesting stuff to be had coming through this. You can just read it down and see what interests you and hit a link and tour. So I'm just going to put Emma's little storyboard in here, and you can wander around, because she's very important, because she's been chosen for a sheep recognition program at the university. And that makes her a very important person. Not everybody gets picked to be face recognized by a white sheep. So you got to be pretty special to be allowed in on that sort of thing. Freaking nuts. Anyways, my friend yesterday got 60 days in jail. I haven't really had a chance to. I've been doing a lot of fairly deep reading. Went to court yesterday over in Waukegan, Ontario. Michael Schmidt, the milk farmer, we've had on the show a few times, was up on a charge of obstructing a peace officer from when they raided his farm back in 2012, in October of 2015, rather, excuse me. And so they just finished up the court case a little bit ago. Now, obstructing police or a peace officer is hardly a big deal. Because apparently you can be charged with obstructing a peace officer if you blink at them. It's a very rather silly little charge, but it's to keep you in the absolute slave position. So they didn't, they actually came to an amicable agreement that, you want to get out of the farm here. And they weren't threatening. They just said, that's our food that you put on your truck, and you ain't leaving with our food. And it was mostly middle-aged to old ladies that were there, and they were particularly ticked off about these cowboys from the government coming in and just running roughshod over the farm and taking what belonged to them. So out of five people charged, two had the charges withdrawn. One was found not guilty. Michael was found guilty. And the fifth party is just actually starting the trial. So the judge went through all this freaking nonsense. I mean, I've been in trials, I've been part of trials, I've been the accused, tried to railroad, so far so good. But as I told people, we went to that injunction hearing down in Newmarket, Ontario in May, I think it was, for 4 days, and And, you know, I said, they got nothing, right? But what they're trying to do is they're not trying to, they have never been able, in 20-some years, they've never been able to get Michael on the milk. And they went through all the propaganda, you drink raw milk, you'll die. Millions of people have died. They even got so crazy that you don't even have to drink milk to die. If somebody drank raw milk and sneezed on you, well, you could die. It was like the white plague. 20-some-odd years later, nobody has even become slightly ill from drinking the raw milk off Michael's farm. But it's still bad news. So they've never been able to nail him on the milk, but they're trying to nail him with this injunction. Because I think it's York region, I think there's one other region, and all these government agencies in that want to collect funds off the farm for time consumed while they've been trying to nail a perfectly innocent man. And so I told him, you know, when they started his trial, I said, this has got nothing to do with obstruction. This has to do with getting a conviction against Michael, so they can move on the injunction charges, which is, I forget how many hundreds of thousands of dollars they're claiming, but it's enough that if they pull this injunction, that they will just move everybody off the farm, and that's the plan. So that's why they found Michael guilty. This judge was an idiot. Now, the whole thing was an idiot show. We all know that court is nothing more than a theater, and these are the actors. There's no giving up on that idea. But when I was in court there, and I asked the head of the police, not a constable or whatever, but a very high up guy. You know, I said, is this common court or is this corporate? And he was honest, at least. He said, it's all corporate. And it is all corporate because the Queen is at the apex of the political and legal systems, which are corporate. So they're corporate courts. And the government or the company or the corporation legislated into existence the Milk Marketing Board and the Milk Act. And but of course, everything's at arm's length. And so they see Michael as a threat to their business. And that's all government is business. It's all corporate, therefore it is a business. So that's why you can't go and make some liquor, because you're cutting in on their business. Now that I saw another, well, I'll dick around with this thing with Michael for a minute if I can get to. Let me see, what do we do here? Yeah, we'll do this. This is the. Let's see. This is off the Owen Sound News, which is in Gray County. So if we look this up, we find Schmidt gets 60 days for obstruction of a peace officer. And this is a picture from the standoff at the farm back in 2015. This fat fart that's in the foreground here didn't have a very good reputation as a cop, and then they brought him in special, and made him a provincial agriculture investigator, a real piece of work this boy is. But you know, these people are just regular folks. Hard-working folks. A lot of the clientele is from the city, and they just want some real food. So Michael doesn't just move real milk or unpasteurized milk. He does cheeses and breads and a lot of baked goods. Just really good, clean, freaking food. But the government, you know, which is a business, you'd be better off dealing with the mob, which is really all the government is, the mob. You know, you could look at the premier of the province as the Don. Well, our premier is a lesbian, but that's beside the point. So anyways, Michael got 60 days in jail for obstruction of peace officer. Menard delivered the sentence in a full courtroom in Waukerton Wednesday afternoon. Now, I'm 63 years old. Most of the people in that courtroom were in my age range or older. And it was a full court. And they actually sent a couple of reporters in there. They had some at the very beginning when the trial started. And this trial went on for, I don't know, it was 22 months or something over a simple obstruction charge. They showed up yesterday, of course, because Michael had been found guilty a few weeks ago, but then came back for sentencing yesterday. He was found guilty on October 19th. Was charged along with four others in the aftermath of a raid on Glen Colton Farms northeast of Durham, Ontario, 2015, by provincial officials gathering evidence for an investigation into raw milk production and processing. Charges against the two of the others were dropped, and the third was found not guilty. Now, they went to the farm investigating into raw milk production and processing. Well, they all know they've been milking cows there and making, you know, processing raw milk for over 20 years. Were there any charges laid for processing raw milk? No. No. That's why this looks like they just want a charge or a conviction on something they can get a conviction on pretty quick in order to bring forward the injunction and try to lift the farm out from underneath these good, honest people. So this is another funny thing. He was also charged $100 for victim surcharge. So I've asked the courts in that before, you know, like who's this victim other than myself, right? Who else got victimized in this besides me? And they say, well, that's a fund for, you know, to help people here and there and there. But yesterday the judge actually said it. Michael asked him. He says, "What's his $100? What was his victim surcharge? Like who's a victim other than me?" And where's this money go? And the judge actually said it goes to the judiciary. So I don't know if that's their liquor fund or their hooker fund or their drug fund or what the hell it is, or their pension funds. Everybody goes to court. I don't know what it's like in the States, but everybody, doesn't matter if you get a speeding ticket or anything here, you got to pay a victim surcharge, which is just a tax on you being screwed over. I thought that was kind of interesting yesterday when he said it was for the judiciary. Anyway, Smith asked the judge if he could save time on weekends, which he's going to do. So he goes in Friday at 6 and gets out Monday morning at 6 in the morning. Crown had requested a minimum 30-day conditional sentence. Now, after the judge had explained to Michael why he did 60 days, they took Michael from the court into a holding room, and the judge, I guess, we needed a drink or something, so it took a 10-minute recess. And I was downstairs, and I was talking to a couple of lawyers downstairs, you know, and they're going, like, are you with the Michael thing? And I went, yeah. And they said, how's it going? I said, the judge gave him 60 days. And the lawyers are freaking out. They're going, you can't be freaking serious. How the hell could you justify 60 days for what? And I said, well, you know, the guy's a clown, referring to the judge. And you could see the lawyers kind of recoil a little bit. You know, like you can't call a judge a clown. Well, you call him as you see him. The guy's a clown. You know, and they seemed a little upset that I called him a clown. And I said, well, you know, do you quote singers in that when you're presenting a case? And they went, well, never. Well, I says, you know, Menard up there, he a few times ago when we were in there, he said this may play well to the gallery or whatever, or those attending the court here, but it don't impress me much, quote Shania Twain. And these two lawyers are just looking at each other going, holy crap. You know, this was just get Michael. Get him convicted. And I'm sure this has everything to do with that injunction, because that injunction hearing went off in May and is now November, and there hasn't been a peep out of anybody about that thing. Okay, so Menard agreed that Smith, being in his 60s and having no criminal record, is an accomplishment. And he said that someone in Ontario here, apparently, who makes it to their 60s without having a criminal record is some kind of an accomplishment. However, he does have a history with provincial courts dealing with non-pasteurized milk issues, but that's not what he's in court for. In my view, even though he is a first-time offender, there is an ongoing underlying defiance of the law that has brought us here, Menard said. Menard said on Wednesday that the warrant to search his property was obtained and executed lawfully. No, it wasn't. It was executed legally. Big difference. This is an obstruction that went to the very heart of the warrant, Menard said. This is a very serious offense. The agents were there under judicial authorization. The raid on Glen Colton Farm turned into a standoff between officials and about 70 supporters of Smith, who refused to allow the equipment seized in the raid to be removed from the farm. Tractors were parked at the entrance, one tractor, and they could have easily drove around it, at the entrance of the farm, so that the cube van used by the provincial offenses to gather evidence couldn't leave until officials agreed to leave the seized material behind. Now, these were old ladies, mostly, who I still believe have more spine than the men. The ladies were the ones that are just, you ain't going anywhere. That's our stuff. Put it back. And they eventually did. Nobody was harmed. Nobody was touched. It ended the way it should have ended. They come into my kitchen and try to steal my milk or my bread or anything else. I'm not going to be a happy camper about it. Anyways, on October 19th, Menard found Schmidt encouraged the protesters to stand their ground and refuse to allow the van to leave, which he said was evidence of the obstruction of a peace officer. Much of the evidence against Schmidt was contained in videos during the raid. Smith is seen and heard telling the lead investigator that nothing seized or officials would leave the farm until the seized material was returned. That said, the judge was not disputed by Smith or any of the witness that he called. Now, that's still not really obstruction of justice, because the police have the authority, and there was a lot of them there, to arrest anybody or just move them aside, move the tractor, or drive around the tractor. We're leaving with what we came to get. This was more of an entrapment thing. Because when they left, everybody left on good terms. It was agreed that they would empty the truck of what they took, and that somebody would move the tractor, and they can be on their way. But this was about finding anything whatsoever to get a conviction on. They've been chasing him for 20 some years. Now this gets really stupid here. The The judge noted on Wednesday three principles played a role in his sentencing decision. He said the rehabilitation principle is served so the accused won't repeat the offense. The general deterrence principle sends a message of discouragement to the wider community to deter others from committing a similar offense. And the personal deference principle makes the offender accountable and seriously discourages us from engaging in the offense again. The sentence has not to only get the message home to Mr. Schmidt, but to members of the community, Menard said. In my view, an issue of incarceration is called for. Menard added that he'd been wandering around thinking about the sentence for 2 weeks and had thought about handing Schmidt a five-month sentence. Now, this is the problem, and it says so, let no man judge you. You got this nutcase wandering around for 2 weeks. I don't know, maybe 5 months, maybe 2 years less a day, maybe 9 months, maybe no months, maybe, as the Crown said, a 30-day suspended sentence. Oh, I'm getting pressure from the higher-ups, just get a conviction on Michael and make it stick and give him some jail time so he looks like a criminal. Okie dokie, well, how much will I give him? Oh, I don't know, 5 months. For 2 weeks, I've been thinking about 5 months, but today, $100 victim charge and 60 days on weekends, which works out to 30 days in actual jail. It's bloody ridiculous, is what it is. But it is what it is, so they're going to file appeals right away. And, you know, they tried everything in here. They tried the motion. They have a rule here in Canada now that from the time of the arrest, I think it is, till you finish up the case, you have a total of 18 months to get it accomplished. Now, murderers have been let loose. Rapists have been let loose. Robbers have been let loose because they didn't get the trial done in 18 months. Now, this is a simple nothing. It's a nothing. Nobody was harmed, yada, yada, yada. And they were way over the 18 months. And I remember one day, some time ago, at one of the trial dates, Michael was really sick. I don't know what the hell, he had the flu or whatever, but he was not well. And he asked for a 2-3-day recess so he could shake the bug. And the judge put it over for 2 weeks. Then they came back later on with a motion that they were over the 18 months. And we're not going to be anywhere close to 18 months when this thing's finished. And they put a motion of dismissal because of the time restraint. Now, Menard comes back and says, well, you had that 2 weeks. But he multiplied somehow the 2 weeks into 2 months. So he stretched the 2 weeks into 2 months, which is pretty quasi-law math, and said that because he decided the 2 weeks was equal to 2 months, that they were still within the boundary of the 18 months. I mean, I've been in lots of court cases, this is as kangaroo court as you could possibly imagine. And they had all kinds of heavyweights in there. Police worried about, and the judge, I think, even said it somewhere, they were worried about violence in there, you know. I'm 63 years old, and I mean, if you want to threaten me, we'll get at it. But it was a lot of people older than me in there, and we brought the thugs in, and they wanted to put forward this idea that there was a possibility of danger erupting in the court when Michael got sentenced. for 60 days, that maybe all of these older folks are going to raise hell in the court, maybe kidnap Michael from the court and spirit him out and hide him in the barn or something. I mean, this court is absolutely out of its mind. The governments are out of their minds. And we just got to really stand our ground here, because this is getting way, way, way out of hand. You know, oh, there's another story here. Now, the government, I told people a long time ago, this was going on for years now, about legalizing weed. And, you know, oh, this is such a great idea. No, it's not. It's not a great idea at all. It's just them rebranding so that you are still going to get busted. Here's a story here. Where did that get to? Just a second. We got a minute or so left. Where the hell that story go? Here it is. The federal crown is going after a man's house in pot case. She said she will be seeking the forfeiture of a house as proceeds of crime, after the house owner admitted Monday to having had a marijuana grow op inside his house. This is goes back to the same old thing as the moonshiners and everything else, okay? The government owns the business. And don't stick your nose in the business. So we legalize it. So now we have it. We can grow it. We can sell it. We can tax it, but if we catch you growing it, that means you're cutting in on their business and we'll take your house. If we catch you producing raw milk, then you're cutting into our milk marketing board and we will take your farm. I don't know what it's going to take for people to understand that the government is not your friend. Okay, you're better off. You would have an easier time working out a deal with the mafia. So you would. So anyways, I put the story in about Michael from New Orleans Sound News. And the story about a guy they're going after his house, because he grew some green stocky plant. I think we should change both our national anthems here and in America to something along the Alice in Wonderland line, you know, because that's exactly what we're involved in here, fiction of the highest order. And I don't know why. Maybe we are all sheep. I'm going to put up a picture after the show on my wall and see if I recognize Emma Watson and Barack Obama. You know, I am a white man, and maybe I'm a white sheep. Maybe I'll recognize Obama. That'll be weird. Anyways, looks like we're out of time. We're back. This is Thursday, back Saturday night over Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com from 10 till midnight. And then Sunday, back at UCY from noon till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So we'll just call it a day. You know, you can go to Michael Schmidt's Facebook. I haven't been there today. And see what's looking there. I'm seeing a lot of. Anyway, there's you can take care of it.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people, next in line, lower class and social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for them more.